All right, well, good morning again. Welcome to Fork Union Baptist Church. For those of you that may be visiting or don't know me or don't care to know me, my name is Will Hall. I am the youth pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. Today is obviously a little bit different than our normal Sunday. It's Youth Sunday, in case you couldn't tell. And I'm super excited about this opportunity for the Narrowgate Youth Group to lead us in worship today and to minister. I just want to say before we get started that this fantastic group of individuals who really this is about half of them that we have on Wednesday nights, but this group of individuals, this group of young believers have put in work and put in effort to make sure that we all can come and worship Jesus today, and it's an incredible thing. The part of the service that we're getting to now, obviously if you follow along and you've been to church here before, you know this is normally the time where we have our message for the day, and I'm not preaching, so y'all just sit tight. But our speakers today, we have Addie Campbell and Lainey Brown. They're going to come and bring the word to us today. And I can't tell you enough how proud I am of all the kids, but especially those who taught Sunday school and are willing to preach, because the word of God, that's why we come to church. If you look at the early church, again, I said I'm not going to preach, I promise. But if you look at the early church, they were gathered together and they weren't focused about singing songs. They weren't focused about having nice sanctuaries. They weren't focused about anything other than fellowshipping with the believers and looking at the apostles' doctrine. That's what they were looking at. And that's what we're here to do today, is to have that same teaching that the apostles taught. That's what we're teaching today. And so I can remember as when I did Youth Sunday, when I was in church growing up, and my senior year, I did the message, and it was like 10:30 the night before, and I was sitting there with notebook paper, like picking some poor verse out of context, scribbling something down. And I can promise you that's not what Addie and Lainey have done. I've just checked over, went through their notes and whatnot, and man, it's incredible what the word that they're going to bring today. So I would encourage you, as they come to speak, give them open hearts, give them open minds, and let Christ speak to you through his word today. Addie, the floor is yours.
Thank you. All right, well, thank you everybody for coming today, and thank you for giving us this opportunity. Everybody's been working really hard, so we hope you've enjoyed it. But so my sermon is titled The Second Greatest Commandment, and it's the verse is found in is Matthew 22:36-40. So that says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and this is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." So I know Pastor Anthony has already preached on this, but I went through and I actually watched his sermon to make sure I didn't say the same thing. But I wanted to highlight verse 39, which it says, "A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." So I want to talk about like what that means and how you can fulfill that commandment. And so right here it tells us that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And to be able to do that, we first have to be able to love yourself. So what does that actually mean? I mean, it can mean different things for every single person. To me, it means that you can be able to forgive yourself and understand you won't be perfect by knowing our worth and by not comparing ourselves to others. I know a lot of people struggle with this, like including myself, but a lot of times we feel inadequate or almost unlovable. The reason for this most of the time is because we know ourselves better than anyone. We know every flaw and mistake we've ever made. The devil can use this to plant seeds of just like being unlovable. We feel unlovable. So, and we can start to dwell on that, and it can add up. And if we already feel unworthy, it just gets worse and worse. And so in Romans 3:22-24, it says we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. So right here, and in many other places, it tells us we all mess up. That's just a fact. Everyone is going to mess up every day. Doesn't matter who you are. But God gave us the free will from the beginning, and he knew we would mess up. But he still chooses to love us. He's always there waiting to forgive us. We must not forget we aren't the only ones who see all our sin. God sees it all, and he's perfect, but he still loves us. So point number one is that we all fall short, but that should not stop us from loving ourselves or loving others. Point number two comes from John 3:16, which I know is extremely common, but I wanted to read it anyways. It says, "For God so loved the world, he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse tells us that we were so worth it to God that he gave his only Son. Since we are worth so much to God, who are we to devalue his creation? Our self-worth is defined by what God thinks we're worth, which is equal to his Son's life. And we're not, our value is not determined by the devil and the lies we're told. So that was my second point. And my last point, I have two Bible verses. The first one is Genesis 1:27, and the second is Psalm 139:13-14. In Genesis it says, "So God created human beings in his image, in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." So it says here that God created us in his image. God's creation was perfect until sin entered the world. And now we can begin to compare ourselves to others. But we're all created in his image. We should strive to be like God and strive to be like Jesus, but no one's perfect. So, who are we to talk bad about God's creation, especially when it's ourselves? We can look at sunsets and all the beauty of God's creation, but we seem to forget that he created us too. So, sometimes it's easier to see perfection in other things and other people, but really no one's perfect and nothing is. So, this can, like, all of these thoughts can result in the inability to love ourselves, and it goes against God's desires for us, and in turn, it prevents us from loving others. Later in Psalms, it says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Again, this goes along the same lines. God created us, and his works are wonderful. We know if God created us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, then we also know that others are fearfully and wonderfully made. You should love yourself for this reason alone, and this will also help us love others because we know they are fearfully and wonderfully made too. So I'm going to close with this, but if you don't love yourself, ask yourself why. What reasons do you have, and does God think differently about them than you do? Are you unforgiving or a perfectionist? If you are, God says we have all sinned and we've all fallen short, and he still loves us. Do you not feel worthy because he gave his only Son because of how much you meant to him? Do you think you aren't as good as others? He says each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are made in his image. If what we think about ourselves doesn't line up with the way God thinks about us, we are wrong. If we truly believe God, or if we truly love God, we should want to fulfill his commands. And for this particular commandment, the way we can do that is to first love ourselves, and then we will be able to truly love others. So that's all I have, and now Lainey can come up.
Good morning, everybody. Like Addie said, thanks everyone for coming. We really appreciate this opportunity to serve you, and we hope you've enjoyed it so far, because I know we have. So my message is called Being Hidden, Being Seen, and Being Known. I have 3 points, and each point has 2 perspectives, except for the third one, and you'll see why when we get there. I'm going to go ahead and read Mark 5, verses 25 through 34, which is the main passage I'm going to be in today. And it says, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.' Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' 'You see the people crowding against you,' his disciples answered, 'and yet you can ask, who touched me?' But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" So my first point is being hidden, and the two perspectives, I don't say options, but the two perspectives for this point are trying to hide from God or letting him hide you. So trying to hide from God can look like not wanting to give up a worldly lifestyle or worldly habits, or it can look like being ashamed after you've sinned. I know personally for me, that's more of what it looks like after I've said something I know I shouldn't have said or done something I know I shouldn't have done. The last thing I want to do is talk about it, right? I want to hide from God and try not to talk to him about it because then I won't be reminded of it, which if you think about it, obviously, is pointless because God knows everything. I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 91:4. And it says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." So this goes into perspective number two, which is letting him hide you. I was just scrolling on my phone the other day, and I saw this video, and it was this girl. And what she said really spoke to me. She said, "For all the girls out there, the teenage girls, and even girls in their 20s and 30s who are wondering why God hasn't given them a boyfriend or a husband yet, it's not God trying to prevent you from having something you think you're ready for. It's God protecting you because he knows you're not ready for it." And if we let God protect us, if we let him hide us under his wings, like Psalm 91:4 talks about, we will have protection from the enemy, from the world, from things we think we're ready for, but we're really not. One thing we can learn from the woman in Mark 5 is that she wanted to seek Jesus in private. And I think that a lot of times we're guilty of this too. I know for me, I have no problem praying in my room or in the comfort of my own house or reading the Bible in my house or around friends and family that I'm not ashamed to be around. But in public, it's a little bit harder to do. To pray at a restaurant or to read your Bible at school or at work or anything like that. And I think another thing is that we want to touch Jesus like this woman in Mark 5. We want the benefits of his healing, but we don't want to bow at his feet like she ended up doing. We want to go to God and we want to ask him for the things that we think we need, but he knows we're not ready for. We want to touch Jesus's cloak. We want his healing and his power and the benefits it'll bring us, but we're not ready for that commitment. We don't want to bow at his feet. And most of the time, that doesn't work the way that we want it to, because you can't touch Jesus without being seen by him, which takes me into point number two, being seen. I'm going to go ahead and reread Mark 5:27 and 28. And they say, "When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.' Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering." So this woman, she went to Jesus, and she wanted to just touch him. She didn't want to be seen. But as we see in verses 30 through 32, that didn't work for her, just like it doesn't work for us. And verses 30 and 32 say, "At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' 'Do you see the people crowding against you?' his disciples answered. 'And yet you can ask, who touched me?' But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it." So our two perspectives for point number two are, you're always seen by Jesus, but you're also seen by the enemy and his demons and the world. Just like we read in Mark 5, Jesus always sees us. We can't touch him. We can't be near him without him knowing, because he watches us, which is such a blessing. But the other side of that is that we're seen by the enemy, and we're seen by his demons, because luckily Satan isn't omnipresent like God is, right? He can't be with us and read our thoughts like God can all the time. So when he can't be there, he sends his demons, because just like Anthony always says, his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants to do to us. I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Satan's always looking for someone to destroy. He's always looking for someone to devour. And sometimes when he's not targeting us, the world is targeting us, right? We're not always tempted by Satan and his demons. We're tempted by the world. We can also be tempted by ourselves. And the only way to be fully protected from all of that is to let God cover you with his wings, like we read about my last point. You have to let him fully protect you, and you have to be known, which takes me into point number three, being known. I told you guys at the beginning that this one only had one perspective, and that's because there's only one way. There's only one way to be truly and authentically known, and that's by Jesus. There's no other perspective. And this can look like bowing at his feet, like this woman ended up doing at the end of Mark 5. So I'm going to call out Grace. She only learned last night that I was going to call her out. So for y'all who don't know Grace, she was one of the girls up here singing. And she's my cousin. She's one of my best friends, and she knows me probably better than any other person on this earth, because we're blood related, and I've known you, I mean, your whole life, almost my whole life, too. I am a little bit older, though. I'm 9 months older. But so she probably knows me better than any person on this earth. She knows all my favorite movies, my favorite people, my favorite shows, my favorite books. She knows pretty much everything there is to know about me. But how well she knows me can't compare to how well Jesus knows me. I'm going to go ahead in Mark 5 and reread verses 33 to 34. And they say, "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" So if we look back in the Old Testament, specifically in the books of Leviticus, Exodus even, we read all these laws that we now call the Old Covenant that God gave to the Israelites because Jesus hadn't yet come to die for our sins. So that was the only way we could be considered holy by God. And one of the laws was that women who were bleeding were not supposed to be in public. They were considered unclean. So when I read this story in Mark 5, I just picture this woman sneaking around, like maybe even crawling at people's feet because she wasn't supposed to be out in public because she was considered unclean by the Old Covenant. And so she was probably just trying to touch Jesus and be healed and get out of Dodge because she wasn't supposed to be around people. She would probably be in trouble with the law if she was caught. But when she bowed at Jesus' feet, he saw her and he called her daughter. So the world can call you unclean. The world can call you dirty, ugly, weird, whatever your insecurities are, but Jesus will always call you his. And what Jesus calls you is what you are because he can't lie. It's impossible for him to do. So if Jesus says you are his, if he calls you son or daughter, you are his. And you can hide from the world, right? We can hide our struggles and our insecurities. Grace knows everything about me, but if I wanted to hide my insecurities and my struggles and my imperfections from her, I could do that and she would never know. But we can't hide from Jesus. It's impossible. We can't do it, which is a blessing because he sees us and he's always there. He's the man that we put on the cross and he's always there to see us and wipe our tears. I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 8:3, which says, "But whoever loves God is known by God." I'm going to close with this. The only way to be truly and authentically known is by Jesus, and you have to love him, and you have to be willing to bow at his feet like this woman did in Mark 5. And just a little encouragement is that Jesus can relate, right? He's seen by many, but he's known by few. Even if you're not a believer, Jesus is a very prominent historical figure. I mean, his birth and death reset our entire timeline. His crucifixion and his time on earth is proven historically. It's just whether you believe in the resurrection or not that makes you a believer and that makes you saved. So he's seen by people all over the world and he's known by people all over the world, but only few truly know him. In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from you, evildoers.'" So if you haven't made that decision today to know God and let him know you, it is a commitment, and it's a big decision to make, but you won't regret it because it will not only benefit your time here on earth, but it will benefit you eternally. Thank you.
There's really nothing else I can add to that or I'm going to try to add to that. I just want to say to both of you individually, thank you. I needed that, Addie. What she talked about is something I heavily struggle with. You're not going to find someone who dislikes themselves more than me. And then, Lainey, I mean, There's a lot of people, including myself in Bible college, who didn't have structure in a sermon like that. So props to you for that. That was incredible. I'm going to put both of those messages in my back pocket, and y'all might hear them again at youth group or something. But in all seriousness, this is going to start our time of invitation. I know y'all are probably going to want to come up and tell both of them specifically how great they did. But this time right now is for us to respond to what God has spoken through them. So I'm going to be up here, and I'm going to ask them to join me at the front. And this is a time where if you need prayer, God is tugging on your heart, you want to pray about something, this is for that time. Once we conclude with our invitation hymn, we're going to have everybody who was involved with Youth Sunday up at the front, and this will be a time where we can recognize them for their hard work and everything they've done. But as we start our invitation hymn, let's stand, and we'll focus on what God has for us during this invitation time.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.